What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Saturday, 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, The Fan Sports Network, Odyssey app. Not YouTube or Twitch for the kids.
Today. Not today.
But that's because Rashad and I, we are hanging out at Portland Indoor Golf Club this Saturday morning.
And I got to be, I'm telling you, I'm a little surprised.
I was wondering
how your intro was going to go, because usually it's a loud, you know, it's a brightful, good morning. And you obviously can't do that. And the last thing you want to do is talk in somebody's backswing.
I know. Yeah. People are getting their games locked in here at Portland Indoor Golf Club. And the energy's too high, I would say, for us.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I think we need to tone it down
all the way.
Like, we need to get our, you know, hello, friends. That's where we need to be today.
I'm Joe Fisher. We're out here at the Portland Indoor Golf Club with Rashad Taylor.
What up, though?
Oh, and Jason Swagger throwing money.
Losing money. Hey, thank you, Swag. Swag tipping me and stuff. I love it.
By the way, we actually are on YouTube still. Just no faces.
Oh, so, are we really?
Good to see you guys. Yeah, I put us on.
Well, today is probably the best day for me because the hair situation is not. I'm going through that weird stage. Like, I'm growing my hair back, I think.
Got the nice polo on now.
Yeah, you know, Tommy Hilfiger always does me right for the polo. Look at you looking buff in the Nike polo today.
The Nike golf polo, yeah.
Yeah, nice exactly. Little slim, you know, dry fit kind of joint that's hugging you real good.
Yeah, it's accentuating my curves, my ladylike curves. But yeah, I wanted to come out here, Rashad, because months ago, met Sebastian Martinez, owner here at Portland Indoor Golf Club, and they sponsored a hole out at the golf tournament, at the Fan Golf Classic. And I came here to pick up some prizing and some stuff for the golf tournament. And this place is one of those, like, when you walk in, you are like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is not what I was expecting in a great way.
No, not at all. And initially I was a little lost, like, man, am I in the right space? And then you bring me into this room. The first room is like a nice little like workout facility for those who want to kind of get their, you know, want to get their workout on, maybe chill and enjoy some coffee. And then you come in and it's just like there's a putting area, and then there's a whole bunch of these like simulators that are around. Like it gives very much a Dick's Sporting Goods golf section vibes, but in the best ways.
Yeah, people are, but again, people are locked in. They're getting their game dialed here.
Seriously, and, all ages too. Like yeah. I saw a young lady walk out here a little bit ago. Couldn't have been any more than 13 or so. So, yeah, adults, some kids, but everybody here is getting to it.
Yeah, no, and it's Jason Swigert. He just had the last Portland or Golf in the Northwest show of the year. He is officially done. And I felt like coming here as the outdoor golf season is starting to wane, but the indoor golf season is starting to crank up, that this is the perfect segue to go from outdoor season into indoor season.
I had no idea there was an indoor season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's news to me, but now that I know.
The kids love the indoor golf.
That's probably my swag right there. I think I'm an indoor season guy. I'm not one for being hot and rained on and stuff like that.
Well, today,
not this old age.
Today is the day that you want to do some indoor golf.
Absolutely.
It is going to be a billion degrees outside.
Yeah. I'm always going to be mad. I'm going to be a little late getting home today.
Yeah. I was looking at the forecast for this weekend, and I was like, yeah, it's an indoor golf type of weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all of it.
What did you do yesterday? It was like 102, something stupid.
Do?
Yeah.
We actually, around like 3 o'clock, we went down to the dockside, which is close to our
office.
Okay,
no dockside.
Because we
great food. Long wait sometime, though.
Good clam chowder.
Yeah, great food.
That's a solid bowl of clam chowder you got at the dockside.
It's, you know what? And a solid bowl of chowder is hard to find.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have the chowder yesterday because that seems kind of counterproductive.
Crazy, insane, yeah.
But no, one of our one of my fellow salespeople, they were in Hood to Coast, and their route was taking them right by Dockside. So we went over there to cheer her on as she made her run through 100-degree Northwest Portland.
Did you hand her a beer like they hand like water for somebody in a marathon?
No, we actually got her a kamikaze shot ready to go. Like,
and she took it?
No, she was locked in.
Yeah, of course
not. She was
locked
in like the people here at Portland Indoor Golf Club.
I think the last thing you want to do is take some shots as you're running anywhere. Like, I feel like that's a terrible idea.
Well, she apparently said to someone, like, via text that she wanted a Jell-O shot. Like, someone wanted it, like, she wanted to have the Jell-O shot, like, handed off to her. But I don't think the Dockside does Jell-O shots.
Everybody should do Jell-O shots, just in case. Like, I mean, nobody really is going to buy them, but it's nice to look in the little refrigerator area back there and go, oh, they have Jell-O shots.
Yeah.
Or look up and say, oh, they're one for $3. That might be fun.
But I can imagine that trying to scoop out the Jell-O and do the scoop motion while running.
There's no scoop. You just gotta shoot it.
You gotta
pick the whole thing, kind of suck the whole thing out.
Well, Jordan,
I know. I knew. As soon as I said it, I knew it was going
to
be
a
thing.
I had to give a pause there so that way we could get a clean cut of that audio right there. But yeah, we're out of Portland Indoor Golf Club, and again, I selfishly was like, well, if Jason Swigard's doing a show out here, what the hell? I want to do a show out here, too.
I mean, why not? All the Saturday
balls.
Shows should be out here.
And this is just reinvigorating my love for the game right now. I feel like the last couple weeks, I haven't been able to golf as much, and my last couple rounds have not gone the way I've wanted to. And now I'm seeing these people getting after it, grinding and hitting some really good shots and having much better swings than me.
I was going to say, everybody's swing is so on point.
Pure.
Everybody is like from the youngest one here to maybe the oldest one here. Everybody has just the most beautiful swing and follow through.
Yeah.
It makes me feel really bad about myself. I'm going to be honest with you, bro.
There is something about seeing like 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds that are so dialed in on their game and so good at golf. That it's just, I wish I could get in a time machine and go back to 9-year-old Joe and be like, start hitting the links.
It's hard to see when young kids are great at stuff that you were like never great at or still hoping to be great at, right? I went to a basketball game, like a youth game last week, and it was in the park. And it was cool. It was a bunch of the best 8th, 9th, and 10th graders in Portland, right? And some of these kids are just out of this world. And I was like, man, I can't shoot like that now. As an adult, as a grown-ass man, like, and here are 13-year-olds that can shoot from half court, like, no problem. So to be out here, and again, I saw this young lady that left and was watching her swing. I was like, wow, that is impressive. Like, it would take me another 10 years to be able to learn to swing like that.
Well, another one of the golf sponsors out at the Fan Golf Classic, he had his daughter hitting drives for groups. Like, she was the 5th drive. And she played golf in high school. And it was one of those, like, when we finished our hole and we're walking up to that one where she was driving, I saw her hit one ball, and I was just like, okay, we're probably going to end up having to use her drive.
You ever hit next to somebody, go to the driving range and hit next to somebody, and they're so good that it makes you want to move? That's how it is for me every single time.
I'm just gonna call it a day.
Seriously,
here.
I used to go to Glen DeVere with my son all the time and, you know, be trying to teach him how to hit balls, and then all of a sudden there'd be some just guy who's in his 60s, you know, late 50s or something
like
that.
You're like, just watch him. Don't listen
to me. Seriously, don't listen to me, but still, like, you know, as dad, you don't want to ever defer to the other guy next to you. Like, you want to make sure you can show him how to do this. But unfortunately, it was like,
it's
you
like
know
getting
what?
Lost.
You know,
like, son, I don't need a map.
You know, son, let's go. Let's move over here to this dock, man, because this is embarrassing for me. But luckily, he gave a lot of great advice. And that's the one thing I noticed. Older golfers have no problem giving advice.
You want to pass on the knowledge.
Younger golfers are like, they'll wait till you get to the 17th hole and be like, oh, you know what you're doing wrong? Now you tell me type thing. But older golfers are always great about giving a little bit of sound advice, especially to younger golfers.
I have a friend who is the most annoying golf advice giver, mostly because he'll just say generic statements, like three-word sentences.
It's all on your hips.
Yeah, just the most generic tip ever. Like, you know, dude, you just got to swing better. It's like, that. What do you think I'm trying to do?
You know, you got to swing a little more to the right next time.
Yeah.
You know, kind of shanked it right there.
You're just not getting good contact. I know. Clearly. Help me. Please. For the love of God.
Yeah. I remember I went out with my father-in-law, and we went to a Topgolf. And he's one of those guys that can hit every dock, every pin, no matter where you want him to do it. He's just one of those guys, right?
He plays shadow golf. So when he's out on the golf course on a hot day,
yeah,
he hits the ball to the shadows.
Yes, so he does.
Get some shade.
He's that good, you know. And at Topgolf, everything is kind of like, oh, there's a green dock and a blue one. He's like, blue, no problem. Yellow.
Red.
Seriously, he's just the entire time. We waited all the way. We played like four games. The end of the fourth game, he was like, you know what you're doing wrong? I was like, now you tell me? Like, I've been sucking this entire time, and we get here right now, and now you're like, oh, this is what you're doing wrong. And luckily, you showed me, and I mean, I think if we'd played again, I'd probably done much better, but by then, it was like, you know, we're done.
Well, Rashad, it's good seeing these golf fans, these golf lovers in the bays working on their game, grinding on a Saturday morning. But we also have some other young adults out there that are grinding on a Saturday morning. Or, technically, because of time zone, it's a Saturday afternoon.
Cross country.
Because we have Iowa State versus Kansas State right now playing in Dublin, Ireland for the first official college football game of the season.
Now, that's how you do overseas football.
We made it.
That's how you do overseas football. You give them two ranked teams, mind you, 17th and 22, but both within the top 25.
Oh, and a muffed punt. Oh, my gosh. Football's back, baby. Muffed punts.
Yeah, this is going to be a great game. Iowa State had an impressive season last year, and so did Kansas State. Get the big win in the Pop-Tarts Bowl they played against Miami last year?
I'd have to look. The Pop-Tarts are there, though. The Pop-Tarts are in Ireland. They showed up as well. Yeah, the Pop-Tarts, they came through.
Well, all right.
Yeah. I'm sure they're not leaving, like, legal in the UK. Like, I'm sure there's, like, five ingredients in Pop-Tarts that...
Oh,
like,
yeah. They're probably super gross, probably.
But, you know? Yeah, I mean, college football's back, man. It's week zero. There's five games today. I just, like, the fact that I'm watching a meaningful top 25
is awesome
football game right now. Like, I don't think it's even hit me.
To be honest,
it's happened.
I almost forgot there was football today. Like, I knew that they talked about it on ESPN yesterday.
Your running Rebs are in action.
Running Rebs are playing. I got to watch my running Rebs play. You know, we're going to have a repeat of last season, only this year, we're going all the way, baby.
Playoff
or bust. Playoff or bust.
Okay, well, we'll see about that. You got to get past by Idaho State today. The mighty Bengals of Idaho State. I think they're the Bengals.
Barbecue chicken. That's what they are today.
Slight work. Yeah. Slight work. Well, yeah, we're hanging out here in the Portland Indoor Golf Club. Just watching people take some hacks. I'm trying to absorb as much information from their swings as I can, so that way I can finish this season strong out on the links. And then, we are officially in football season.
Here we go.
It is here. We got Iowa State and Kansas State on the laptop right in front of us.
Looks like the first sack of the season.
Yeah, first sack, first muff punt. I am, I'm speechless. I can't put words to it right now.
Man, football pants are tight, man. Football pants, man, real tight.
At the seams. But they should be even more tight because we got some news yesterday. They have finally caught up to the rest of the pack. We get to that next here on Sports Saturday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor. Fan Sports Network. Sports Saturday live out here at the Portland Indoor Golf Club, watching people get their games dialed in. Awesome facility out here. I mean, this is, I hate to use the V word, but the vibes are great, Rashad.
The vibes are great. I'm doing my best to have my indoor voice on right now, because there is a lot happening over there, and golf is a very, very quiet sport.
Yeah,
so I'm doing my best to have my, like, my Barry White on right now, so this way I don't interrupt anybody's backswing.
Well, I'm sure that when Swag was here doing his show, people were like, what's that guy doing? Oh, he's hosting a golf show. And they're like, oh, okay, that's all good. And then now they're like, wait, who are those two guys over there? Oh, they're just doing a regular sports show. They're like, well, get them the hell out of here.
Yeah, what are they doing? Were they talking about football today? No.
No, no. Well, I will talk football because Kansas State, Iowa State, already a complete mess over there in Dublin. We had a muffed punt that set Iowa State up on the goal line, essentially. Then they got a pass interference. So they were on the 1 yard line. And what did they do? They pitched the ball back, a little running back sweep. Running back can't handle it. And then Kansas State jumps on the ball on the 6 yard line. It's messy. We love it.
This is why I am a big proponent of the tune up game, or I think there should be at least a game, maybe that I don't want to say counts, like almost like a jamboree in college. Because like it's the only sport that we have that day one is live, right? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Day one is everything
no
counts.
Real
like
preseason or
there's
anything,
nothing.
Yeah.
And so you look at these teams, you know, first week of the season, you're going to see a lot of Appalachian States, and you're going to see a lot of Derek Zoolander, Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good and want to learn how to do other stuff good too. You're going to see all those teams out there the first week playing against Alabama and Oregon and, you know, all these powerhouses. And I think every team needs that. You know, you have to have an opportunity to work out the kinks. And if you are one of those smaller schools, this gives you a chance to go against one of the bigger boys and see like where you are in comparison to maybe the rest of your league. So I do think it's something they should consider. Maybe records would be a little bit better if every team got a chance to start like that, but I digress.
Well, there are a lot of those week one matchups, and boy, it is, it's raining cats and dogs over there in Dublin, Ireland. And no wonder the guy
muffed
the punt and fumbled the running back sweep, because it is just pouring down there.
It's football weather.
It's raining Guinness in Dublin.
Which sounds delicious.
I don't think I've ever had a Guinness before.
Guinness is actually pretty good. It's thick, you know, porter, you know, type thing. So I love a good Guinness, man. I haven't had one in a while, but I could go for one.
Well, those week one games that you're talking about, those usual blowouts that happen, there is one conference that has been guilty of scheduling those games in, like, week 8, week 9, week 10. And that
who
is the SEC.
The best conference in football?
Some would say. Some would say that it is the best conference in football, but some people want to put their money where their mouth is and play an extra conference game, get rid of their games against Mercer and Austin Peay and Bowling Green and whoever the hell they're playing. And the SEC has done that. After all the years of people yelling from the mountaintops to have them play an extra conference game, they will be doing that starting next year. It was announced from the SEC that they will have a 9th conference game, which is going to essentially catch themselves up with every other major conference. They also went and added into this that every team has to play at least one non-conference Power 4 opponent. So whether it's ACC or Big 10 or Big 12, all SEC teams will be playing 9 conference games, and they're going to be playing one non-conference Power 4 opponent as well. But thank God. I mean, it's just
needed to happen.
It's been for years that people have been wanting this to happen, and SEC finally waking up. Now, I think a lot of this has to do with the current change of how they're going to weigh strength of schedule for the playoffs. I mean, that announcement came out on Thursday, and then I think this announcement for the SEC was on Friday, yesterday. But I mean, this is huge. And that, when I know that we have been saying for them to do it for years, but when you really think about it, it's like this is one more important game that all of you guys get to play, more eyeballs, more attention on your conference, your teams, and it's going to make your resumes look better by having that extra conference game, because instead of playing again the Mercers of the world or the directional school Tech, A&M, Heat in whatever state, whatever FCS school, you are now going to be playing a Vanderbilt, you're going to be playing a Texas A&M, an Arkansas, an Alabama. It's just going to look a hell of a lot better.
Because more attention is exactly what the SEC needs, right?
Yes.
They have to get more eyeballs. They don't get enough, you know, at this point. But I do love the fact that they put in that more competitive game, because like you said, like, it kind of bolstered their record all the time, because you have this blowout win again against Bowling Green or against somebody that's just, you know, dog water at this point.
Louisiana so, Monroe.
Yeah, like teams that nobody even knows where they are in most cases. And so I'm glad they're doing this. I think the SEC, obviously, it's the most competitive. They have how many teams in the top 25 this year? Like 10?
Oh,
something stupid.
Start,
like, yeah, it's something stupid. Like,
yeah, to start the season, I'm not sure, but probably a lot, Bob.
Yeah, it's something stupid. So the SEC is definitely the end all and be all, especially if you're in the South as far as college football is concerned. So yes, they did need this game. I don't think it mattered if they did do it. They were still going to be considered the best anyway. So maybe just having that, I don't know, nice little just warm up game against one of those smaller schools was like a reward for them playing all those other competitive teams, I guess. But we'll see. So I'm glad they're doing it. Every other conference has been doing, at least all the competitive ones. Knowing the SEC, they're going to choose the Big 12, though. That's going to be the conference that they choose to have their out of conference game against, more than likely.
Yeah, and there is, yes.
If you're thinking the least competitive of the Power Four right now, it's probably the Big 12. Maybe the ACC, yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends on your definition of Big 12. Like, everybody's closer to each other as far as competition level in the Big 12, so that would make it more competitive.
More competitive?
Yeah. But as far as, like, who's the most competitive on the national scale, yeah, it's going to be SEC. It's going to be the Big 10. I mean, what this also does is you're going to get matchups finally that, because of the amount of teams in the SEC and because they have their rivalries that they have to schedule every year, that we're going to finally get some matchups that have been rare over the last 10 to 15 years. For example, Texas A&M has not hosted Georgia since joining the SEC. And that was, I think, in 2012.
Wow.
So that's,
they haven't hosted Georgia.
They have not hosted Georgia once. But that's 13 years you're in the SEC. And Texas A&M, Kyle Field is one of the most like iconic venues. And they haven't hosted Georgia, who has been one of, if not the most powerful college football teams, at least of the last 5 years.
No, but Georgia's been the team of the SEC for the past 7 years or so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just bizarre that, you know, when I read that, I was like, oh, my God. How does that not happen yet?
It's crazy. Last year, there was a bunch of teams that we were seeing playing for the first time ever, you know, for the first time since the 70s and all types of stuff. So It's crazy, especially if you're talking about these teams that are in the southern regions, how they haven't played each other more. And so, yeah, I'm glad the SEC is doing this. I think it was necessary. I'd like to say that people cared, but the truth is I don't really think anybody truly did. You know, that was just one game that we weren't going to watch against, you know, Alabama and Mercer. Like, nobody really cared.
Well, we're still going to get those non-SEC conference games because of that one Power Four opponent that they have to schedule. So we're still going to get the South Carolina, Clemson, Kentucky, Louisville, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech. Those are all still going to happen, even with them adding that extra conference game there. But
and they said they're going to be three like standing games, like, so just to keep rivalries up. So there are teams that are going to play each other every year, more than likely, you know. So that's a good thing. Like, right now, I don't love the fact that Oregon and Ohio State don't play this year.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't love the fact that Oregon doesn't play Michigan this year. Like, that's not awesome, you know. But they have to wait to conference championships, and I get all that. But, you know, I think, like, Michigan, Ohio State, they would be a disappointment if they didn't play each other once a year.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. I think Oregon and Ohio State needs to be one of those games as well.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's, you know, with this move for SEC and then, you know, what Big Ten already does is, you know, you have so many teams that you can only play so many of them a year. But the goal is to have matchups against teams at least every year or every other year. That's the thing with the SEC now, is that by moving to 9 games, you have much more inventory to have those SEC matchups that we have not seen before. Like I said, the Georgia at Texas A&M matchup at Kyle Field, like the fact that it's been 12, 13 years and that's never happened. So there's going to be a lot of first time moments or second time moments that of the SEC schedule that we have not seen before that we will now see in the future. But yeah, this is just a big win for everybody. Like,
who doesn't want more competitive football?
Well, as much crap as we like to give the SEC, because, you know, obviously being on the West Coast here, we kind of see it as like the evil empire. At SEC football, it's just different.
It's just different. Like, I've told the story 1,000 times on this station. Haven't been to an SEC football game. I'm not sure if you have yet, Joe.
I have not, no.
I've been to tons of Duck games. I've been to tons of, you know, Beeve games. I've been to a USC. Like, there is nothing
Western Oregon.
I've been to Western Oregon games like that. You talk about a party right there, at a, especially on a dry campus. What are you talking about? But there is absolutely nothing, nothing like seeing that many people come to a football game and like the entire city, the town shut down for the game. Like that's not happening in Eugene. That's not happening any other place. So SEC football, it just means more, especially in the South.
The rankings have been out for a little while now for all the, for the college football season. We're watching a ranked matchup right now on my laptop here out at Portland Indoor Golf Club, Kansas State, Iowa State, still scoreless.
Trash right now.
5.5 minutes. It is just raining so bad. Classic Ireland weather.
Yeah, classic duck football.
Yeah, this is just an absolute mess out there. But we have the rankings, and I am intrigued to see, of all these college football teams over the last 5 years, who are the most overrated and underrated when it comes to rankings. We're going to get to that next here on Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network. But first, George Schultz with the Sports Center update.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
That's right. Sports Saturday. We're out here at Portland Indoor Golf Club. I am picking up the scraps, the what's left for us after Jason Swaggart did his final Golf in the Northwest show.
He had everybody all interested. Everybody was over here looking around like, man, what's going on?
And I was like, hey, I want some of that.
Yeah, come sit in the chair next to us, man. There was a guy who was having coffee. Like, it's a big, nice leather chair right here.
Actually, have a lot of leather furniture.
Really nice. Nothing says class. Like leather furniture, man. Many leather-bound books as well.
Yeah, I think I need a leather chair now.
I'm telling you, these ones recline over here. Like, yeah, that's, I mean, again, that's
very nice.
That's high class right there.
Very nice, yes. Rashad, I said last segment that I want to talk about some overrated, underrated teams here.
Whoa. Who do you think is overrated? I mean, once we get through the list, I want to know who you personally feel is overrated.
Like this season?
Yeah, sure.
Going into this year?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I would say that, and I think it's an easy go-to because no one, I think, expects a lot out of them every year. I'm sorry, Illinois. You got to prove it to me. Yeah, I don't think Illinois can just get a top 15 ranking or whatever it is.
Hold on now, because Illinois is a team that I'm actually kind of high on this year for a lot of different reasons.
You like, rock with Illinois, huh?
No, so they're a team that went – they surprised a lot of people last year and went 10-3. They have a lot of starters coming back. Like, most of their offense are returning for the year. Most of their defense is coming back. So they have a lot of kids coming back. Their schedule, they don't play any of the kind of top teams, you know, right? So they don't play Oregon. They don't play Ohio State, I don't think, this year. So they can go 11-1 just based on their schedule. If they can kind of figure out or keep that momentum from last year, which was pretty good, I think Illinois is one of those teams, sneaky teams, that could sneak into the playoff and surprise, like, a lot of people.
Sorry to burst your bubble. They will be hosting Ohio State.
Michigan, I think it is, who they don't
No Michigan,
play.
No Oregon, no Penn State, Ohio
yeah.
State.
So there you go. So Ohio State is the only team. So, again, that's the one, an 11-1 that they'll probably won't get. But, yeah, I think Illinois can do it. I think I love their coaching staff. Why not?
The fighting Brent Bielema's. But I do have a list here that they poured over the data over the last five seasons. They came up with different scores, underrated, overrated, going from unranked to ranked or vice versa. They did all this math stuff that I don't know how to do, and coding and whatnot, to basically tell us who are the most overrated and underrated teams since 2020. And I'm curious if you can guess one of the teams that is the most underrated teams by the AP preseason poll.
Underrated.
Most underrated teams or schools.
Okay.
I got the top 10 here.
Most underrated schools going into the the Oregon Ducks aren't on there, are they?
No, Oregon Ducks are not on here.
Okay,
no.
Cool.
No. Think of teams that usually don't start the season ranked, or they are very low ranked, and then they end up climbing the rankings,
okay,
and finishing the season with, you know, a 10-2 season.
Utah?
Utah is not on this list.
Really?
They are
okay.
Not top 10. No. Utah's usually getting some pretty good rankings.
Yeah, but it's not really usually to the end of the year people are paying attention
start
to Utah.
On.
Yeah. This is tough, man. Iowa State.
Iowa State is not on here. You were on the right track with Utah, though.
Was I? Okay.
Geographically.
Okay, gotcha. Boise State.
Boise State, no. Think the same state as Utah, and another big program.
BYU.
BYU. They're okay. They're number two on this list.
Okay.
As far as most underrated teams by the AP preseason poll over the last 5 years.
Okay. BYU. UNLV. I'm just taking a shot. I mean, I don't know. Washington State.
You're running Rebs. Just disrespected. No, Washington State is not on here, but Washington is. Washington number four on this list as far as most underrated teams.
I could see it. They've had a couple years in there where they were it was undeniable how good they were. And then there were some years where it was a lot of struggles, so I could definitely see that.
On this list, they have Arizona 10, Ole Miss 9, Tennessee 8, Tulane.
Tennessee is underrated?
Tennessee has been underrated the last 5 years.
Tennessee has been overrated, but whatever.
Underrated according to this these mathematical formulas.
Now, I'm probably the wrong person to talk Tennessee anything with.
Yeah,
so
Tennessee did you dirty.
Yeah, they did.
They broke your heart.
I'll never forgive it.
Track star broke your
never
heart.
Never forgive
right?
it.
Tulane 7, which Tulane has been sneaky good the last couple of years.
They have.
No one knows that they're going to be good, and then they have a great season.
Most people don't even know what Tulane is.
Tulane, the Green Wave, Texas?
Texas, there you go.
Okay. Closer to like New Orleans, like
that I don't
that
know.
Border?
That's a good question.
Corpus Christi area maybe. TCU, Arizona State, Washington, South Carolina, BYU, and the number one most underrated team by the AP preseason poll of the last 5 years, SMU, Southern Methodist.
That death penalty really hurt them.
Not enough,
but they're still there, you know.
They're like that Undertaker meme. They're back from the dead.
TCU is one that I'll definitely agree with. We forget. Didn't they go to the national championship like just a few years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure did. So, yeah, TCU definitely should be one of those teams that we talk about a lot more. Again, when you're a smaller Texas school, you know, it just people tend to kind of overlook you, you know, a whole lot.
Yes,
Tulane, right? You know, so it's just kind of unfortunate for them. But the only thing you can do is really run the board to make people pay attention to you.
Yeah, so SMU and BYU, both teams that were not in major conferences, and they are now both in major conferences. SMU, ACC, BYU's in the Big 12. So they're playing above their expectations has helped lead them to some bigger things.
So no Oregon State on that list either.
Oregon State is not on this list.
Rats.
But now I have the most overrated teams by the AP preseason poll over the last 5 years. Can you guess the number one team or any team?
Texas?
Texas is not on here. No.
Really? Okay.
It's all big names.
Because I saw another list from, I want to say, CBS Sports, and Texas was like number 10 on the most overrated teams over the last, well, it was last decade, so yeah. A little different.
Well, yeah, they definitely had a few seasons, those Charlie Strong seasons where they were expected to be good and then follow up. But the last 5 years.
Last couple years.
Now, yeah. They've been solid. But yes, most overrated teams.
Overrated. USC?
USC is number 3.
I knew it. That's just huge disappointment, especially being a Pac-10 guy for me. Like, that was a huge, huge disappointment, USC not being great.
Trust tree here?
Go ahead.
I used to be a USC fan.
It's okay.
I used to be a USC fan.
Was Reggie Bush?
I wore number 5 because of Reggie Bush.
Listen, he was every kid's favorite player. Like, I understood, man. Like, Reggie Bush was something special. So it's okay if you liked USC.
And then they started,
I was a Lindale White fan.
They started losing to Oregon State, and that's when I couldn't take it anymore. The 2006, 2007 seasons, I want to say.
Oregon State was legit at that point, though. Remember, they were like going back and forth. They went against the Ducks for a trip to the Rose Bowl that year.
I believe that
was a couple years ago, 2008, I think it was.
2008, yeah. But yes, USC is number 3 on this list. Can you guess number 1, Rashad? Big school, big name school.
Big name school. Auburn?
Auburn is not on this list. They're not even the top 10.
Dang. Okay. Really? Okay. All
right,
man.
Right. There's conference.
Right conference. Okay.
SEC.
Big school. Mm-hmm. Florida.
Florida is number 10 on this list. I'll give you the 10 through 6, which actually are almost all SEC schools. It's Florida, Alabama, LSU, Clemson, Oklahoma. That's 10 through 6 there.
Okay. And the number 1 is an SEC school.
It is an SEC school, yes.
Arkansas?
No, it's not Arkansas. Is Arkansas expected to do anything?
I don't know, ever in life. Geez, it's not Tennessee.
Not Tennessee, no.
Vanderbilt? I give up at this point.
Texas A&M.
Okay. It's been a long time since Johnny Football was there.
But that makes sense. I mean, if they're outside of USC, like as far as teams on a national stage that get great recruiting classes every year, get hyped up, usually start the season with like a top 10, top 15 ranking, and then end up essing the bed and falling down the rankings or just completely out of it. It seems like that is a yearly tradition for Texas A&M.
Yeah. They've had great starts to season, but again, they haven't had anybody really electric since Johnny Manziel. And so I think that's kind of been – they haven't had any real leadership out there. Nobody worth really watching like that from a week-to-week basis. So I don't know, man. I've never really watched a whole lot of Texas A&M football. It's been a long time, I'll be honest. Like, really since Johnny Football was there. I haven't watched a whole lot of Texas A&M football.
Okay, I'm looking at their year-by-year and AP preseason compared to their final ranking. Like, they have had seasons where they start the season ranked 12th, unranked. Start the season ranked 6th, and then by the end of the season, they're 25th. They start the season, again, 2022, ranked 6th. They're unranked by the end of the season. 23rd. In 2023, unranked. And then last year, they started the season ranked 20th, got as high as 10 in the rankings, and then sure enough, by the end of it, they were unranked. So, like I said, it's become almost a yearly tradition to have them start the season with a good ranking and then fall apart and be unranked.
So that number one status makes sense to me now.
Yes.
Like, I mean, honestly, almost kind of like Florida. Florida is one of those teams that every year comes into the season – ranked, right? And then for whatever reason, midway through the season, things completely fall apart. Or first game of the season for the Gators, things fall apart, and then they're never seen in the top 25 again.
Yeah, I would say the the last couple of years they've been floundering at quarterback and really haven't had that success at that position. People have wondered if Billy Napier can be the coach that leads them back to the promised land of Florida, the Florida teams of old. But, I mean, we'll see this year with DJ Lagway and if he's the truth and able to take Florida back to where they've been in years past. But, yeah, Texas A&M, according to CFBselect.com, who did a whole bunch of number crunching and formula creating to come up with this list of the most overrated and underrated college football programs. The most underrated team by the AP preseason poll over the last 5 years, SMU, number one, BYU, number two, South Carolina, number three, who's expected to do some great things this year. And then most overrated teams, number one, Texas A&M, number two, Wisconsin, number three, USC, and then number four, Miami on this one, which another team that's like that.
I'm a big U fan to this day. I still love Miami. I still support, like, whenever they're on TV or whatever, but man, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah,
like, it's been a long while. Shout out to Cam Ward for bringing some type of respectability back to Dade County, but yo, it is not fun to watch Miami football.
And their schedule this year is insane.
It's brutal. Brutal.
It's brutal maybe from the opponent standpoint, but as far as like how it is scheduled for them to succeed, their first eight games, I think it's the first 8 weeks of the season, they leave the state of Florida
like once. Yeah.
It's insane.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Well, hopefully they're able to take advantage of it because I think that they're expecting a playoff down there in Miami. So let's take a look, though, at week zero and college football season that is about to start. I mean, the college football season has started. We have a game on right now, Iowa State, Kansas State. Take a look at that. Take a look at the slate of games that are the rest of the day. And also just kind of do a quick season preview before hour number two, getting into our AFC, NFC West predictions. And also some quarterback stuff happening around the league and the NFL as well. But next, get to week zero matchups and the season that is right on our doorstep here on Sports Saturday. Sports Saturday here. Oh, there we go. Let me put the microphone in front of my face. I swear I'm a professional.
Yeah.
I swear
good
I know
job.
What I'm doing. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, look at that, man. It's a tied up game.
Yes. Yeah. I was saying that the over was in question here. It was 0-0 with 5 minutes left to go in the first quarter, and now it is all tied up. In Dublin, Ireland, Iowa State, Kansas State, 7 apiece. Rocco Becht for Iowa State got the first touchdown of the college football season. And then Avery Johnson for Kansas State got a about a 12-yard touchdown run in to tie the game up 7-7 as the second quarter just getting underway here in Ireland.
What a badass name, Rocco.
Rocco.
Yeah.
That is a solid football name.
Yeah, it
Rocco
is.
Rocco Becht.
It's typically, you know, kind of designated for like a linebacker or maybe a, you
that's
know,
true.
A
that's,
defensive
yeah.
end or something
I,
like that.
Yeah,
but
you're expecting a butterfly collar on
yeah,
him.
Exactly. What a badass, man. Rocco Becht. I like it. All of a sudden, it's my new favorite player.
There you go. Well, hey, if Iowa State's able to pull this out, then you'll be following them pretty closely all year. Expect to do some good things there in the Big 12, Iowa State. We do have a slate of games today, though. At 1 o'clock, and I believe this one, I don't know where it's going to be on TV. I don't know if they even put it on TV. Idaho State at UNLV. You're running Rebs, Rashad.
No, you're going to have to stream that game. More than likely, it's not going to be on TV.
UNLV, 30.5-point favorite over Idaho State.
That's what they get.
This game being played at Allegiant Stadium.
That's our home field.
That well, good for Idaho State that those kids can say that they played at Allegiant Stadium. They can tell their kids in 20 years that, or their grandkids in 40 years, your grandpappy played a game at Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah, and man, listen.
Okay, Grandpa, time for bed.
This UNLV team this year has a great, great chance to make it to the playoff this year. Like, you look at their schedule, Boise State is typically the one kind of thorn in the side that
Let's
they have.
Calm down here.
Hold on. Listen to the schedule, though. Which, you know, first game today, Idaho State, Sam Houston State, UCLA, Miami, Ohio, Wyoming, Air Force. Then you play Boise State, New Mexico, Colorado State, Utah State, Hawaii, Nevada.
Yeah,
if you can't go 11-1,
games in there.
If you can't go 11-1 with this improved roster from last year, because it is a little better than last year.
Your starting quarterback, Alex Orji from Michigan, the transfer.
There you go, who's much better than, you know, homie from last year. So we'll see, man. Sam Houston State, the season starts great for you.
Yeah, and you go up against Idaho State, who you should definitely
beat by 30.
Kick the teeth in of.
Yeah, so that's a good way. Again, every team needs that start. It does something for your confidence.
30.5 spread for UNLV. I want to say that UNLV's first game last year was also at Allegiant Stadium against Sister Mary's School for the Blind. And it was an absolute bloodbath. It was like 74-13 or something like that last year.
No, last year they played here.
Utah Tech.
Yeah.
They played Utah Tech in the
Sorry,
first game,
Texters.
And it was a final of 72-14. My God. That was the second game. They started against Houston, got a dub. And then last year they hosted Utah Tech at Allegiant Stadium and won 72-14.
Enjoy the strip.
My God.
Enjoy the strip. Now, that's that. You come to UNLV, you come to play Vegas, guess what? You're going to have a great time after the game, but during the game, it's not going to be as fun.
At 3:30, we get Fresno State taking on Kansas. The Jayhawks looking to rebound from their season last year. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Fresno State's starting quarterback is Kurt Warner's son.
Really?
Yes, and I'm looking at the roster right now, and yes, I stand corrected. They actually just named him the starter earlier this week. EJ Warner going to be starting for Fresno State against Kansas today.
Just think, if Kurt Warner didn't like stock shelves between his AFL job and NFL fourth string quarterback job back in Green Bay before he got a chance with the Rams, we'd never get an EJ Warner starting. That's crazy, man. Like all the kids of other professional athletes now, it's kind of getting like,
you guys remember old.
You guys remember more of these kids like of former athletes playing than ever before, because I feel like every team has one.
Oh yeah, and really, you look across the gamut in all sports, like the kids are coming. Charlie Woods is coming. Like all these boys are coming up, man. I watched a bunch of my friends last week at this basketball thing I talked about a little bit earlier, and all my friends' kids are much better than my friends ever were at basketball, or much taller than they ever were. And like, man, the evolution of some of these young men is crazy. So we're seeing it even college football with Arch Manning. Like, we've never seen how much hype have we seen around a kid in college football like this? It was like, when's the last time there was really like this much hype around a single player in college football?
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Vince Young, maybe.
Yeah, but
that was 20 years ago almost.
I'm just trying to even think of like someone, yeah, who came into college football, sat for 2 years basically, even, and there was still all that hype just waiting for him to get the reps.
Probably nobody, actually.
Yeah. I can't think of anybody like in the past and recent history. So Arch has a lot. This is the era of Arch that we're living in. This is absolutely. He's supposed to be, if you can believe it, he's supposed to be the Manning.
To go back on the Kurt Warner thing, I like to think there's an alternate universe somewhere where Kurt Warner did not take the job interview or the tryout with the Rams.
He's going to be the manager at the like, Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what? I think this is my calling.
Going to stay on the management track here. They give you the tools to be your own boss.
So I can scan groceries better than anybody else in the world. I think this is what I'm meant to do.
I'm the best on the West Coast.
He goes the Alan Matthews route, dad from Boy Meets World. Yeah, that's perfect.
For sure. What's Dax Shepard and what's the one movie?
Jessica Simpson.
Employee of the Month. That's pretty much Kurt Warner working at like a Costco.
Oh, is Dax Shepard and Dane Cook? Yeah, that's right.
When Dane Cook was on top of the world, Dane do you remember Cook. That little stretch that he had? Like 3-4 years, Dane Cook could do no wrong. What happened to that guy?
His brother scammed him out of all of his money.
I was gonna say, yeah, I think then he got some terrible surgeries that totally messed his face up made him look like he isn't even moving his face at all. You know, classic Hollywood stuff.
That's too bad, man.
Classic Hollywood stuff. At 4 o'clock, catch the fever, Sam Houston versus Western Kentucky.
I think I'll skip the fever for that one.
You're not down to catch.
I'll see Sam Houston next week.
Yeah. Well, that's why you should be watching Sam Houston this week. You need to get the scouting report for your reps.
No, we're good.
That one is on CBS Sports Network, so they're putting that one on TV. But apparently Idaho State, UNLV,
nobody wants to see that drubbing on TV, though, to be honest. Yeah. I'd be embarrassed.
And then the nightcap, which, quite honestly, this is probably my my favorite game of the weekend, Stanford versus Hawaii.
Listen,
and Hawaii, 2.5-point favorite.
Rainbow Warriors, man. If there's any game that I want to go to first game of the season, or any game of the season,
Hawaii.
It's going to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for
sure. This is what I've said about the Bahamas Bowl for years. Like, I'm trying to go to the Bahamas Bowl. I don't care if I don't have any affiliation with any school that is there. I want to go to the Bahamas Bowl because it just seems like college football and a party happening at the same time.
Absolutely. It's going to be a terrible game.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'll absolutely just, if you're playing in that and you get to get a chance to go to the Bahamas, remember Oregon State was always the Las Vegas Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
A few, like, for years in a row, yeah. Like, Oregon State was always there. I was like, man, it sucks because you know that game is going to be good because you're going to be kicking it way too hard in Las Vegas.
I doubt you know this, but do you know who Stanford's starting quarterback is?
I do, but I was going to say.
Vince Young Jr.?
It is not somebody's son.
It's a familiar name.
It's somebody's son, but it's not a former athlete's son.
It is nobody's son.
Yeah, it's no one's son. I don't know if anybody wants to claim him.
Actually, that's a good point.
You know, honestly, I haven't looked at their roster. Who's their
Their starting quarterback is one former Oregon State starting quarterback, Ben Gulbranson.
No.
Yeah.
So they want to go he wants to go one for 13 for 12 yards.
Yeah, I found that out literally earlier this week. I was looking at the slate of games also, and I was like, "Okay, Stanford versus Hawaii." And I was like, "Wait, Hawaii's favored?" And then I saw who Stanford's starting quarterback was, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes a lot more sense now.
Well, you know who their coach is, too, right?
They got, don't say it. It was the Colts' former head coach.
Yep, and the Panthers.
All right, say his name.
All right, it's Frank Reich, and he's the interim because, remember, they fired Troy Taylor, and Reich has come in to basically hold the fort down for 12 months until conduct a real search or whatever it is.
Ever happened in college football where there's an interim head coach that jumps on, like, in the off scene, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'll be the head coach, but no, I am not committing to this long.
12 months.
I'll do it for a year for you guys.
I've never seen that at all.
My God. Well, that's your week zero slate. We got Iowa State, Kansas State on the laptop in front of us. Is it laptop? Not
computer.
Laptop. I said laptop for years because I was like, oh, it's like a laboratory.
That's on top.
That's on top of your lap.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, well, maybe it is laptop then.
Yeah, I don't know. I just say my computer.
Well, we have the Iowa State-Kansas State game on my computer right in front of us. Still 7-7 with less than 12 minutes left to go. This game is the Aer Lingus College Football Classic being played in Dublin, Ireland. I'll come back to it in the second hour here. I want you to try and guess where the two largest stadiums in the world are. Because I was thinking about this game yesterday, and I was like, man, if I could choose where to have a college football game anywhere in the world, like what stadiums, like what venues would I want that? And then I started thinking, I'm like, all right, well, what's the biggest stadium in the world? So I want you to try and think on that during the commercial break. When we come back, it'll be hour number two. We'll be previewing the AFC West, the NFC West. We got some starting quarterbacks being named around the NFL. I have a question about one that was not named the starter that we will get into in the second hour. Plenty of other football stuff, man. It is here. College football season's here. We're about a week away from NFL football action, but we've made it, baby.
Here we go.
We're out here at the Portland Indoor Golf Club. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Sports Saturday here on the Fan Sports Network.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you. from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Sports Saturday right here on 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, The Fan Sports Network, The Fan Global Sports Network. And we are technically on YouTube and Twitch, although you can't see us.
You guys look great.
Face for radio, baby. Hey. That's what they say.
Face finally, man. Finally looking good today.
Yeah, dude. I'm shredded, too. I was out last week and I just did a bunch of steroids and now just my muscles are popping, man.
You're not supposed to admit that.
Yeah, I haven't been using steroids. However, I have been working out all the time and I'm always looking like, damn it, like why is this working the way I want it to?
I chopped a bunch of wood out of camping last weekend.
Well, that's good. That's a nice exercise.
Yeah,
man.
It was unfortunate because my girlfriend was asleep in the tent, and I was like, you should have seen me.
That's supposed to build testosterone, too,
yeah,
baby.
Exactly.
So, yeah, high T activity there.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah, you know, I got a chance to look at myself. I was like, holy hell, there it is. Yeah. I guess it is working.
Yeah, I was out.
There it is.
I was out last week. I will be out next week as well.
Oh, jeez.
I will not be able to join you gentlemen at 7 a.m.
Do you ever do your job?
I think you're just so you're, but you're going to be here for the post game show. Yeah. Uh huh. Okay.
No, I will not be there for either. As a matter of fact.
Well, yeah.
I will be completely out of town next weekend. I'm going to San Francisco next weekend.
Francisco.
That's a fun name.
Yeah, that's fun to say.
I'm going to catch my lowly Orioles against the lowly San Francisco Giants. The battle of orange and black. The battle of East and West Coast Bays. Chesapeake versus San Francisco Bay.
Let's go, baby.
That's right, baby. Chesapeake. Soft shell crab all day, baby.
I love it.
Actually, no, I'll go Dungeness all day, honestly. West Coast crab, superior.
I don't know.
I don't. Soft shell crab. I'll have it. But if you give me the choice of some dungy or some soft shell, like
I'm
blue,
a snow crab guy,
crab,
man,
or something like that. Nah.
I can't stand dungeon crab. It's so hard to eat.
I love it. Can't tell the difference. I eat the crab.
Yeah, I'm eating the crab though. I'm honestly not tripping. If you bring me some dungeon crab, it's gonna get knocked down.
Oh yeah,
no problem.
Crushing it. I'm crushing crab.
It's gonna take a long time, but yeah, I'm doing it.
But yeah, I'll be down in San Francisco. I'll do a call in. I'll do a hit from San Francisco.
Yeah, we're good.
Rashad, I say yes. Rashad's like, no, we're fine.
We don't want to talk about the Orioles.
No, I'll talk Ducks.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, who wants to talk about the Orioles
I'll
right
talk
now?
Ducks. I'll talk Bees.
It's like, okay, great. Yes. Then in that case, yeah,
I'll
we definitely
live
want you on.
From the scene of San Francisco that has literally nothing to do with any of the Week 1 games.
Well, but, make sure you don't get stabbed or shot. That's actually a good question. Which city between Baltimore and San Francisco is more violent right now?
Baltimore.
I mean,
that's not even. Have you seen The Wire?
Yeah. I've seen The Wire, but I also know that Ricky Pearsall, current 49ers wide receiver, recovered from
Very
a gunshot last
Very
year.
True.
Being
well,
robbed.
Where was he at? Where was he in? Was he in San Francisco or was he in Oakland? Or was he in Richmond? Vallejo? Or one of those other little Bay Area places where that will absolutely happen.
Like right downtown in San Francisco.
He's Berkeley.
My wife will always tell me this story every time we talk about something like this, but she remembers very, very vividly as a kid. They're from the East Coast, by the way, driving through Oakland and being the only white people in the area. They were getting laughed at, like, probably 11 o'clock at night. Like, it's just not a good place to be.
You're not around. Listen, man, you're not from around here, are you, buddy?
Oakland is an awesome place. It's the places in the Bay Area outside of Oakland that you'll get hurt. For instance, a good friend of mine
You'll get hurt.
A good friend of mine lived in a place called Richmond. You know, so Richmond, for those who don't know, the movie Coach Carter was, based in Richmond, right? Yeah. And so we pull up, mind you, I've never been to this part of the Bay Area, and we pull up, I'm in the back seat, and my guy Tashawn, who's driving the car, turns to my friend and goes, "Man, welcome home." And the stoplight is laying in the middle of the street. And it's still functional, though.
Well, that's a bad omen.
It's still turning red and yellow and green, and people are still adhering to it. And they're stopping at the light, and they're driving around it and stuff like that. It was the wildest thing I'd ever seen. People just pulled up to the corner store, which is also your neighborhood liquor store. And the store is closed, and the guy is selling liquor through, like, a little crack in the he's kind of cracked the door open just a little bit so people can kind of pass their money and pass the booze through, like... It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. My friend was like, "Bro, do not walk to the store.
Sounds like my type of party.
Whatever you need, stay right here at home. I got you. Call me. I'll bring it." I'm bored. It's like early afternoon. I'm like, "Man, I'm not sitting here all day. This is stupid. I'm going to walk and get me a Black and Mild." The dumbest thing in the world I could have done. I walked down to that store and got pressed the entire time I was there. It just made me, you know what? Maybe I'll just go back home. I don't need this Black and Mild right now.
I'm not bored. It's all good. I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm tripping. Let me turn on this Xbox 360.
Yeah, I want to say it was Stockton, California.
Stockton, also another place that you will definitely get robbed in.
Me and my buddies, we drove down to San Francisco. This was like when I was 19, so this is maybe like 15 years ago, something like that. And on the way back home, we made a stop in Stockton at a Carl's Jr., got ourselves a famous star.
Love Carl's Jr.
Oh, dude. Give me some of those star-shaped chicken nuggies all day long.
100%.
But I think the 5 to 10 minutes that we parked and then went inside to get our Carl's Jr. and then walked outside, a car got broken into.
Yeah.
Like, right next to us.
Yeah.
And we're like, we need to get out of here immediately.
Or jacked or something like that. Like, we used to stay in Stockton when we drove to L.A., like, as a family. Like, Stockton was kind of like a halfway point between Portland and L.A. Not really, but we just kind of stopped there for whatever reason. And somebody, we were at, like, there was a Taco Bell slash, like, you know, they have a KFC, Taco Bell things, like, together.
Yeah.
And we go in there to get some food, and this dude came up to me and my mom. I'm like 13 at this point. It's like, "Hey, you got that crack?" What? Like, "Yeah, you got that crack?" And I was like, "No." Yeah. My mom was like, "No, you got
the
crack. I got
a Western bacon cheeseburger."
Yeah, you can have this, I guess. But yeah, no, so definitely try to stay out of stock.
I mean,
if you can.
I consider Western bacon cheeseburger that crack. I mean, that's
that is that crack.
That barbecue sauce on there, man.
My underrated burger spot that nobody doesn't get enough love, and I always will for me, is Jack in the Box, man.
Jay and the B?
Man, Jack in the Box is legit, bro. I don't care what nobody says, man. Jack in the Box has never done me wrong, ever.
They've done me wrong. I'm out.
No, man, yeah.
I've been done wrong by the one over by our office.
The bacon cheeseburger? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
see, probably that one. See, if both of you guys are sick there, that's probably that one.
Just that location.
Yeah, probably so.
They got to step their game up.
That's typically what it is. I've never been sick from Jack in the Box, so shout out to them.
I mean, they made me puke in our stations, like literally in the studio's garbage can. I had to go home. So
Joe's done that before. Easy.
Say, that's a rite of passage.
Easy.
It wasn't a hangover, though. Damn, I wish it were.
Yeah, that's we don't talk about that, though. As far as I know, we've moved past that. That was years ago. I'm a different man now.
Yeah,
I don't show up to our show hungover.
Joe throws up off the air now, not on the air anymore.
Dude, I don't show up to our show hungover ever.
This word's yeah,
honestly, now that we're on Saturdays, it's much easier not to do so.
Honestly,
I disagree.
Really?
Oh,
Saturday is usually my kick a day. Friday is cool, but I'm usually still pretty busy from or tired from Fridays.
I had to reel it in last night. I was concerned. It got to about 6:30, 7 o'clock last night, and I'm like, if I don't pull things back here, then tomorrow's gonna be an absolute mess.
So yesterday, my wife and I went to Broughton Beach or Dittler's or whatever you want to call it. It's the it's on Marine
Dittler's?
Drive. Yeah, it's on Marine Drive. Joe, you probably wouldn't know as much about it, but like, it's pretty cool. Like,
what's that supposed to mean?
You can see, because I'm almost for certain that you've never been there as you're about to Google it, but there, like, it's right near the airport, right? So there you can see planes or hear planes like coming right over the top of you and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. But yeah, it's a nice little spot on the water, man. The water looks super gross and dirty. However, it's not. Once you get in there, you see that it's nice and clear. Yeah, it's nice. It's good. But yeah, $5 parking. Get out there. Me and my wife had some drinks and some medication, and we were, yeah. It was cool.
The place is called Diddler's?
Yeah, or Broughton Beach. You know, okay. It's probably easier to say. But yeah, man, it's a nice little out-of-the-way spot that a lot of people don't really think about. And if you don't want to drive, especially if you're in Portland, you don't want to drive all the way to Sandy River or Clackamas or something like that, and you actually want to get into the water, this is a good spot to do it.
Swim in the sludge of the Columbia.
But, yeah, I mean, hey.
Or the Willamette.
You want to get in the Willamette?
No,
course not. Didn't You'll definitely get in the Columbia. Yeah.
They just removed like a biohazard order from the Willamette. Like the numbers just became safe to swim in again for some. It's like, well, what are we doing?
I am not getting in the Willamette ever. You'd have to throw me in there, like throw my body in there or something like that, because there's no way I'm getting in there. I saw people jet skiing on the Willamette like a couple weeks ago. It's like, gross.
I'll do some jet skiing. But
not on the Willamette.
I'm not taking laps.
Not on the Willamette.
I'm not opening my mouth. That's for sure.
I'm not blowing bubbles in the Willamette. That's
see?
For sure.
In the Columbia, no problem. Blow as many bubbles as you need to.
All right. There's a segment wasted.
I wouldn't say wasted. People now know about Broughton Beach, right, Joe?
And Stockton.
There you go.
Don't stop at a Carl's Jr.
Or Richmond.
In Stockton. Yeah.
Yeah, you're good.
But yeah, I'll be in San Francisco next week, and I swear I'll do a call in. I'll do an 8:30 hit live from the Palace Hotel.
Are we really starting at 7 o'clock next week?
Oh yeah,
oh yes, sir, Rashad.
Oh,
yeah.
Tight.
Yeah, 7 a.m.
We'll be here, and then I'll be here again.
Live on location from the house. We're doing this again from the house.
I don't know if you're going to be able to.
I'm taking all this stuff home. Yeah, we're good.
If you got to come in, I got to come in. Damn it!
Sports Saturday. We're live out at Portland Indoor Golf Club. We were just. Shooting the S with Sebastian Martinez, the owner. This facility is great for all the golfers out there that are trying to get better at golf. I mean, there's a ton of simulators. They got a whole putting area, a real sand bunker that you can hit out of. They got tall ceilings here, so you can work on those flop shots. I mean, this is designed to make you better at golf.
Yes,
like,
and
if you want to hit balls at the range and just crush balls and hit driver all the time, there's places to do that. If you want to get better at golf, you got to come here.
Well, this is where I'm coming. I was just kind of asking him, like, what does somebody have to do to be a part of this amazing place? Because I want to learn, number one, how to beat Joe Fisher. I need to know how to beat Andy Dirk Johnson. I need to know how to beat Jason Swigart.
One of those is easier than the other. I'll say that.
And so I need to know how to beat. Oh, so you're saying you're better than Dirk, huh?
No,
that's what you're saying. Dirk, did you hear it?
You could be there in no time.
Yeah,
that'll be easy. Dirk, that is a whole nother task.
Is Dirk really that nice?
Dirk's nice with it.
Is he?
Oh yeah.
That's what's up, man.
I've golfed with him twice, but the most recent time was a few months ago. We were out at Eastmoreland. The guy can swing the stick.
You know, Dirt is probably a sneaky athlete, like, in a lot of ways. Like, remember, he played for Cleveland, so I don't know if I would say that.
The
but
PIL
yes, but yes, Dirt did absolutely win the PIL, and he was nice at quarterback, so he's one of those guys that is a sneaky athlete. Like, you wouldn't know how good of an athlete he was.
Got a good little jumper on him, perhaps.
Yeah, well, I think that's Brandon Sprague. I heard a good friend of mine who was in my fantasy league was also Sprague's coach at one point and told me that he can shoot the ball.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, yeah, we're hanging out here at Portland Indoor Golf Club watching people work on their games here. It's a nice eclectic mix of the youth, the next generation of golfers. And then people that are like our age, Rashad and I out here, you know, in their 30s, 40s, and working on their game as well. But it's if you are interested in getting better at golf, using the tech that these simulators have, which I've taken lessons at a place that it's a simulator, and all the numbers that tell you how it correlates to your swing and your game, it's it helps a lot.
Yeah, I need help with every aspect of my game. Short game, long game. you know, just hitting the ball straight consistently. Like, I need help with all that, Jordan.
This is the place to do it, to get your game dialed in.
I'm definitely going to be back.
Well, there are NFL teams that are getting their games dialed in the final week of preseason here. We are just, what is it? What's the first game? Thursday night, Eagles, Cowboys. No.
No, the is it the third? No.
The fourth, I want to say? I think it's the fourth. September 4th is the first game, Eagles versus Cowboys season opener. So we are about a week and a half away from the NFL season commencing.
How are you feeling about that game?
Oh, gosh. The bells. The bells have begun.
As soon as you said commencing, I was like, well, that's no better start time.
September 4th, yes, Thursday, Cowboys-Eagles. But we're not talking about the NFC East today. We're talking about the AFC West and the NFC West. Let's go AFC West. Let's spend less time on that because I want to give enough time to the NFC West in the next segment. AFC West, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, Kansas City. Kansas City's won this division for the last 50 years, it seems like. But this division, probably top to bottom, the best division in football, I would say.
Ooh.
I mean, you got three playoff teams from last year in Denver, Chargers, and the Chiefs. And then you have the Raiders, who have made quite the jump as far as expectations go because of new head coach. You got Jim
not
Smith.
Antonio Pierce.
You've got Ashton Jeanty. The receiver room, you know, probably a little bit to be desired there. But, you know, still got Max Crosby on the defensive side there. A very intriguing team in Vegas where some people see them as a playoff team.
Yeah, I think there's not a lot of people. Well, some people see them as a playoff team. I have a cousin who's a Raider fan, and he's not so sure quite yet. Wants them to be good, but nobody's really sure what to expect, especially because, like you said, this division is very good and getting much better. But I do love Pete Carroll. I love his energy. He's at 70-whatever years old, man. He's still out there running. He's still that same guy that he was when he was coaching at USC. So I think with a guy like Geno Smith, who is sneaky underrated at the quarterback position, and then you throw in an Ashton Jeanty who's ready to win now, I think this Raider team can be great. Will they make the playoffs right now? I don't know. I think there's a lot of good teams in the AFC, but I do think they can be much improved from where they were last year.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how this Raiders team looks. Again, there's a lot to be desired in the receiver room. I mean, this is their starting lineup for receivers. Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, Dante Thornton Jr.
Tight. Tight. Like,
you do have Brock Bowers, so I mean that should be Geno's safety net.
And
there,
you've got Ashton Jeanty, who hopefully, you know, you don't run all the way into the ground, but hopefully, because you don't know much about these receivers, they'll surprise you and kind of have a sneaky good season. So we'll see.
But this is the division of Oregon quarterbacks because you got Justin Herbert in Los Angeles with the Chargers, Bo Nix with the Denver Broncos. The Chargers, man, I mean they lost their left tackle earlier this preseason. Rather, and Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle, is going to be out for the. Excuse me, not Ronnie Stanley, Rashawn Slater. He is out for the rest of the season. So they're going to move Joe Alt over to left tackle. They're going to have to move some things around in the offensive line. But this team, I mean, they didn't make a ton of like offseason acquisitions on the offensive side. Najee Harris and Amarion Hampton as their...
And the Chiefs. I know nobody that hates the Chargers.
Well, the Broncos, they're going to be very intriguing this year as well, just because, I mean, obviously year two of Bo Nix. People wondering if he's going to be able to build upon his second half of his season last year, of his rookie season. I mean, one of the best rookie seasons for a quarterback of all time. And then they go to the playoffs, lose to the Bills in their playoff matchup, but... I am very intrigued as well with this Broncos team and what they're going to do in year two of Bo Nix.
I mean, the one thing that we don't talk about enough with the Broncos is they're basically a rising team with a really strong defense right now, and a defense that you think is going to be a little bit better than they were last year. I think it was expected for them to lose to the Bills. I don't think anybody saw them beating the Bills. The Bills, we thought, were going to the Super Bowl after Josh Allen's MVP season. But I think Sean Payton in year two with this team could have them right where they need to be. I'm not a big Sean Payton fan, but I understand his importance as a head coach. And when you have a young guy like Bo Nix, you can really lead this team to do something. So we'll see what they're able to do. But this is going to be a tough division for anybody to really win outside of the Chiefs.
As far as like quarterbacks drafted last year and head coaches, like, I can't think of a better rookie quarterback for Sean Payton. Like, Bo Nix is a smart player, smart quarterback, understands the game, has great IQ, has a great mentality. And as far as, like, the guys I got drafted last year, like, I couldn't think of, I mean, maybe Penix, but I just feel like Bo Nix is just perfect for Sean Payton.
Yeah,
exactly. Who he? I mean, I drafted him for a reason, but I think that that is exactly the type of guy that you want running Sean Payton's offense.
No, and Bo Nix was, you know, he was a grown up, you know, for the most part, and so when he came in at that point, like, he had been enough places, he played for enough great coaches to where playing for somebody like Sean Payton was going to be much easier for him. So I think, given this, how he plays and what we know about him being a Duck here, Bo Nix is going to do just fine as a Bronco moving forward.
And then the last team, again, the team that has won the division for ever, it seems like, Kansas City. They had, as long as they got 15, man, as long as they got 15 taking snaps and playing quarterback for them, they are always going to give themselves a chance, not just to win the division, but the conference and the Super Bowl. It'll be interesting to see what Travis Kelce looks like. I mean, there was talks about him maybe retiring after last season. I still think he's going to be super effective. Full season of Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy in year two. You know, it kind of seems like they always have a running back by committee, but Pacheco's always going to be running the ball hard. I'm intrigued to see if some of these defensive players that they've been drafting over the last couple of years start to step up, and what this offensive line looks like as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are, what else can you kind of say about them that hasn't said anything? The only thing I think that people are kind of poking at is the fact that they are getting older. Their schedule, you know, isn't favoring, you know, for the Chiefs. And, you know, their key players being Travis Kelce, you know, he's older, and like you just said, he's been kind of thinking about retirement. And I think when you get to that point to where, you know, it might be closer to the end. So, I don't know. I think they're the favorites, but nothing is guaranteed in the NFL. We know that, but I don't see them kind of being dethroned quite yet. But it wouldn't shock me if this was, like, kind of the end of this whole Chiefs run with this squad what they have here.
The Chiefs remind me, to make a other sports comparison, kind of like the Houston Astros, in that they're just always good. And whenever you think about counting them out, they're winning the division. They're still one of the best teams in the league. And so, as much as I would like to say,
and they be cheating. So yeah,
well, that's what people believe that the Chiefs are doing, but. As much as I want to say, hey, Chargers are winning this division this year, the Broncos have got it this year, I'm going with the Broncos. I'm going with the Chiefs, man. Prove me wrong.
I got to go with the Chiefs, man. I mean, until somebody does it, like, they're still
a
team to beat.
I'll believe it when I see it.
There it is. And so the Chiefs are still the team to beat.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Let's jump over to the NFC West. Seahawks, 49ers, Cardinals, and the Rams. Always a fun division to break down. Always competitive there as well. We do the NFC West next on Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network. But first, Schultzy gives me a Sports Center update. Sports Saturday here on 105.1 The Fan and 1080 The Fan. Boy, the conversation off air Rashad and I were just having.
Man, makes you want spaghetti, eh? Shout out to Meg the Stallion.
Absolutely not. I was asking Rashad because Megan Thee Stallion, hip-hop artist, is dating Klay Thompson.
Lucky man.
Yes, very much so.
I have been a huge fan of Megan Thee Stallion for a long time.
Well, maybe not a lucky man because she made him a dish of spaghetti and fried catfish recently.
Uh-oh.
And so I asked Rashad, I was like, is that like a common dish, you know, in the African-American community? And he said, yeah, you know, it is. But you got to be careful when a woman serves you spaghetti. And I was like, what? Why? And apparently there are some things. This comes from the voodoo culture of in the South, that women will do things to your spaghetti to make you fall in love with you.
Just saying, man. I didn't make it up.
What kinds of things?
Well, we can't talk about it now.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out the right way to say this on radio.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about, and I'm not sure there's a way to say it at all, Joe.
Yeah.
No, I don't think. Jordan.
Let's just, you know, I guess the way to think of it is, you know, spaghetti sauce is red.
Oh,
right?
God. Okay.
And so if a woman is presenting you a dish of a red sauce, and you're dating her, and she's trying to get you to fall in love with them, apparently they will put also something red in that dish.
There's a reason that red football jerseys are popular. Let's just, right?
There it is.
There you go.
There it is.
So that's the best way to say it.
I'm just saying, I heard that from a mentor of mine when I was like, I want to say like 15 or something like that, and it stuck with me from there.
I almost just said the F word on the radio.
Yeah,
God.
Man. So watch
My
out.
God.
So watch out, Clay Thompson.
Here, Joe. Reason,
you see how Clay was at? Look, he looked so mad when he was at that, what was it, like the little banquet or whatever he was with her? He looked so irritated by that girl. You can tell she irritates the hell out of him.
So
you can tell.
Not long for a breakup, is that what you're saying?
I don't know, man. I think he's going to be around for a little bit, man.
Well, the 49ers have red jerseys. The Cardinals have red jerseys.
They do.
Well, how about that segue, huh?
That was a good one.
Yeah,
Seahawks and the Rams do not have red jerseys, but they all are in the NFC West, which is, again, a very strong competitive division. I don't know if it's as good as the AFC West, but you've got the Rams who made the playoffs last year. The 49ers did not, but they should have a bounce back season. Boy, if they can stay healthy, though. I mean, it seems like every other day in San Francisco, there's someone getting injured out of training camp. And then you have the Seahawks, which people are high on the Seahawks. The Cardinals, who knows what the hell to expect from them. The NFC West, though, is always, always a fun division. And I don't think that's just being a having a bias towards our West Coast teams here. I think that the NFC West slaps around the country to folks. I think there's people in the South that, you know, that NFC West, I like them buddies up there. There's some good football up there in the NFC West.
You can do an amazing Southern impression. But no,
don't eat that spaghetti now.
The NFC West is, for me, it was always the most competitive division in football for a few years ago when you had the Seahawks the best, the Niners at their best. Even the Cardinals were a really, really competitive team at that point. And so, and the Rams were just kind of trying to figure it out. And then things kind of shifted. And so I think the Rams are... It's hard to know what I'm looking at, you know, from this Rams squad. Like, you see that there is these glimpses of greatness, and then they go into a lull for, you know, 1 or 2 weeks or something like that. My uncle's a Rams fan, and he hates going to games because he's never sure what he's going to get, you know, from his squad. So I don't really know what to make of this Rams team at this point. I know Sean
Matthew
McVay
Stafford
needs to figure
might
out.
Be dead.
Matt, I mean, we don't know what we're getting from Matt Stafford anymore, and I know he's probably looking over there in Detroit and seeing what they're doing there and going, damn it, this was
probably. I think that Super Bowl ring makes up for it.
That Super Bowl ring definitely makes up for it, but people, they respect it, but they're kind of like, they almost forgot that the Rams won a few years ago, and now you're looking at this Detroit team, and they're just like everybody's favorite right now. So I'm not sure what to make of this Rams team, especially now you're year two at this point without Aaron Donald. And so what is this defense going to look like? So I don't know. The Rams are probably at this point, they're the fourth best team in the NFC West to me.
Oh, I don't know about that.
For me, like right now, I'm trying to feel, I mean, it's between them and obviously the Cardinals,
yeah,
you know, at this point, but I'm not sure what to make of it. I think right now the Cardinals might have a better roster. Yeah. So
yikes. I don't know about that, bud. I mean, Puka Nacua is
awesome.
Devontae Adams going to be very interesting to see what he looks like now after leaving the Raiders, then the Jets, and is he able going to?
Could he be washed?
Huh?
Could Devontae Adams be washed though?
That's what I'm saying. I'm intrigued to see what he's going to look like with the Rams. Are we going to get like tail end of the career Devontae Adams, where it's like, he's just, you know, he's not as effective, or is he going to go back to maybe not how he was with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, but at least just being able to put up numbers and be a big part of that offense?
Yeah, I look at this rosters or this Arizona Cardinals depth chart. Kyler Murray, James Conner, Marvin Harrison, Michael Wilson, Zay Jones, Trey McBride. Like, that's legit. You know, that's as far as your skill players on offense, man, that's a legit little group right there that you have. So can they protect Kyler Murray is the biggest question, at least for me right now. But yeah, if you're asking me, I would probably like this roster a little more than I would like the Rams.
All I know is the NFC West, I have no idea what the hell's going to happen.
No, like, nobody does. That's the great part.
The Rams, they should be good because if you got McVay and Stafford, you know, that's a given right there. But Stafford has not played or, like, practiced, like, at all this preseason because of that back injury. The Cardinals, they played better last season in their second season with Jonathan Gannon, I believe, is their head coach, the name of their head coach. I mean, the Seahawks team is going to be very different than it was last year, having Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback. But it seems like everybody's high on the Seahawks. I think that people are – Darnold with Kubiak, Clint Kubiak as offensive coordinator, that they're going to be able to just be just fine this year.
No.
I'm a skeptic on it. It's one of those where, like, show me Sam Darnold without Kevin O'Connell and if they're going to be able to be a good team. But it seems like the Seahawks are able to always put out a competitive product no matter what.
Really? I think, honestly, if the Seahawks' run game can work, I think they're going to have a chance to be just fine. Between Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker, the third, I think you have a really good running back room. And as long as those guys can stay healthy and really produce out there and their line can block from them even a little bit, I think they've got the skills to make a lot of people. There's a reason a lot of folks are high on the Seahawks this year. And I think you're talking head coach Sam Darnold is seen to be a bit of an upgrade from Geno. I don't know if I agree with that all the way. But it gives you hope, I guess. You know, with a new quarterback comes a lot of new hope. But the fact that Jackson Smith and Jigma, who in my opinion has always been a number one, now gets to actually step into that X position and be the number one receiver and let Cooper Kupp be the second guy, I think the Seahawks can make a lot of things happen this year.
Yeah, and I would say, I don't know if it's the biggest question mark, but it's definitely a question mark, is what are these 49ers going to look like after the season they just had where they were dealing with a ton of injuries and they're dealing with injuries now? Is their wide receiver room going to be strong enough for Brock Purdy where he's going to be able to take advantage of maybe, I wouldn't say lesser talent, but, I mean, you have no Deebo Samuel this year who's moved on. Maybe you get a full season of Christian McCaffrey. They just added Brian Robinson Jr., though, to their running back room. That's a huge get for them.
Mm-hmm.
That will take some of the pressure off of CMC. But, I mean, I don't know if Brandon Ayuk is going to be ready for the start of the season. He's still dealing with his shredded knee from last year. Is Ricky Pearsall going to be able to make that jump? Is Juwan Jennings going to be able to essentially be that de facto number one until Ayuk gets back? A lot of question marks with this offense and just this team in general, and if they're able to stay healthy this year, because that was what killed them last year.
And health is always going to be what kind of prevents the Niners from being anything great, you know. And right now, Juwan Jennings kind of dealing with some issues, but he's really tasked with taking over for Deebo Samuel. Can he be that new guy for the 49ers, I think, is a huge question. Can George Kittle stay healthy for most of the season? Can Christian McCaffrey stay healthy? I think health is the only issue I really have with the 49ers. Last year, it was a matter of health. Nobody was healthy, and so they were trash. I think this year, if everybody is healthy-ish, and they can at least have their number twos are able to come in and really give them some solid production, I think the 49ers can be back to where they're supposed to be. I mean, you look at their schedule, and it's not to say that they probably can't win. You know, it's relatively favorable. I look at a game against Houston. I look at a game against Houston, and it's probably the one time that they're going to be challenged, the Bears, at some point towards the latter part of the year, Tampa Bay. So a few games on their schedule that it should be pretty favorable if you're the 49ers and if everybody can stay healthy.
We'll start off against the Seahawks. That'll be the game that you hear on the Fan here on the Sunday, the 7th of September.
And it's going to tell us
season opener.
And that's going to tell us everything we need to know about the 49ers moving forward.
And then they got the Saints. They got the Cardinals after that. Jags, Rams, Buccaneers. So it's a mix of, you know, some good teams, some solid teams, with maybe some teams that are expected to not be as great this year in the Saints and Jags. But, I mean, if I got to go with the team to win this division this year, I'm probably gonna go with the Rams, man. I think that Sean McVay, that offensive firepower, are gonna put themselves in a good position. All I know is this division is gonna be an absolute slobber knocker, as JR would say.
Yeah, I'm gonna shock everybody. I like Arizona for no reason. Like I do. I think this is going to be
the
year.
Honesty.
They've drafted well. They've been able to kind of put some things around Kyler Murray. You know, we obviously see that Kyler Murray is a great fantasy quarterback, but can he be a great in-game quarterback? We see he's got the skills to do it. I think this could be the year that Arizona finally takes a step forward and does something. So it's between them or the 49ers, just based on their records.
Well, someone who has
– or based on the schedule, excuse me.
Someone who has Kyler Murray on their fantasy team, I'm down for that. I'm down for a division-winning Cardinals season. Portland Indoor Golf Club. All you golfers out there that are trying to get your game better, this is the place to do it. You know, you got your driving ranges. You got courses and stuff like that. This is a 24/7 facility that you can come in with your membership whenever you want. So if the wife is mad at you and tells you, hey, you're sleeping on the couch tonight, Welcome to Portland Indoor Golf Club. You're sleeping on the couches in here, baby.
Looks like I might be sleeping on the couches in here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Rashad Anthony Richardson, Colts quarterback, named the starter. Top five quarterback bust of all time?
Ooh, I don't know.
Because I think that he, if this, obviously there's still a lot left in his career, but I think if the trend continues the way it is for him, I think outside of Ryan Leaf, outside of Jamarcus Russell, and my other two, Trey Lance and Zach Wilson, you could throw him in the top five there. I mean, Trey Lance was, I mean, what was it? Three first-round picks or whatever that was traded for him to end up doing nothing.
I'm thinking, man.
Zach Wilson, number two overall, ended up doing nothing.
Vince Young had one really good season.
See, that's what I'm saying. Then, at least they had a good. He had a good season. But, you know, I mean, rookie of the year, I'm pretty sure, Vince Young.
Yeah, Vince Young was definitely rookie of the year. RG3 was also rookie of the year.
Yeah, and I mean, then, they had good seasons, but, I mean.
I mean, because Anthony Richardson started to have a good season, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously Ryan Leaf is going to go, you know, up there just because you, when you're the number one pick, you know, like we expect a whole lot from you.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jamarcus Russell is one of the biggest disappointments that we've ever really had. But, you know, honestly, I didn't really know a lot about Anthony Richardson's college career, if I'm being honest. So I didn't
have a lot of snaps.
So
there,
I didn't really expect a lot from him anyway. Like, and so I'm always more like surprised by the guys like a, I don't know, somebody that went to a great Miami quarterback or a Matt Leinart or something like that that comes to the NFL and he's trash, or a Mark Sanchez and who somebody that you think is going to be good in the NFL and they're just not. You know,
Sanchez
so,
was the highest paid quarterback at one point, though.
Yeah, Sanchez
though,
was.
Bite
but,
your tongue about the Sanchez. Okay?
Man, Sanchez had, again, one good season at a point, and then he became butt fumble.
Yeah.
And then so that's kind of what we remember Mark Sanchez at. So I do kind of think about those guys who at the quarterback position who came in and, you know, we thought they were going to – Jameis Winston. Like, Jameis was supposed to – he's had good games in between there, but Jameis has never had a great season.
No, he. I mean, the season he threw 30 touchdowns, he threw 30.
Johnny
also.
Football, you know what I mean? Like, how many guys have had these unbelievable NFL seasons and careers, and then they get to the league and they're like, oh, they're nothing. So I wouldn't put Anthony Richardson there. I think he's one of the bigger disappointments over the last little bit because there was a lot of expectation for him being that big,
hype,
that strong, that young.
Fourth overall pick.
Yeah, that big, that strong, that young, and not being able to make anything happen with it. Yeah, so it's definitely a disappointment, but one of the biggest, like, I don't know.
Still some time, like I said, in his career, but if the trajectory continues for this, I would say top five. Hey, football season is upon us. That means people are getting ready for the season. That means the youth is getting ready for their season as well. Wanted to give a shout out to my nephew, Alex Medina. He was apparently cracking some skulls out at their jamboree today for Tigard.
Go get it.
Taking on the Lincoln Cardinals. Tigers go roar, baby.
There you go.
Medina goes roar.
There you go, man. Shout out to all the young men that are out there on the football field, all the young ladies out there on the volleyball court and on the soccer field, all that stuff, getting in. Here we go. Fall sports, let's go.
Yeah, if you're like these kids in the Portland Indoor Golf Club right now getting that training in, you'll be ready for your season in no time as well. People are locked in.
Yeah, they are.
Time of year.
There they are. Here we go, man.
Put up or shut up. Well, thanks to Sebastian and the crew for having not just Golf in the Northwest, but having us out here for our show. Thank you, Sebastian. Awesome facility out here. Thank you all to listening this week. We got football next week, meaningful Oregon State football. I will be gone. I will be in San Francisco. I'll do a call-in. I swear to God,
yeah,
I'll do it.
Yeah, we're going
to
need it because it's 7 a.m.
That's right. You'll be able to hear these guys at 7 a.m. next week as we lead into Ducks pregame for the first Ducks football game of the season on the Fan Sports Network. I'm stoked.
I am too, man. This is going to be fun.
All right. Well, we'll catch you all next week. Rashad, appreciate you as always.
My man.
Jordan, back in the studio, appreciate you as always.
Yeah, love you guys. Love you all.
And thank you for tuning in to this Sports Saturday. You will catch these guys next week at 7 a.m. right here on the Fan Sports Network. Peace.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.